dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com as we cap off the end of the fourth season of SVC Sports Talk. It's been an incredible run, a lot of fun. If you just finished up listening to the girls show, welcome over to the boys show. If you're listening to the boys show and have not gone over, I encourage you to take a listen to the girls show as well. As what we've looked to do here is move our shows back a few weeks to make sure that we get an opportunity to honor our spring sports in a little bit more of a complete fashion. I'm joined, as I always am, by Jeremy Ward. And, you know, Jeremy, we've had some incredible feedback, as I did on the boys show. I will mention that our athlete of the year is right around the corner, as that's kind of the last big thing on the website for online voting. Unfortunately, I can't really give you a final ballot on the boys because there's just too many things that we're still going to have to get sorted out. I know Jonathan Thomas is in that running. There's a trio of Paint Valley kids that that are really in the running to be on that ballot. Mason McCloy, Anthony McFadden, and Tegan McFadden, Trevor Detillion, Walt Petzl, just a couple other names I know there. So really about 7-8 names really still fighting. Now, that's not to say we wouldn't put 4 or 5 on the ballot. We've done that before. We usually try to really see who separates from the others. We usually like to keep it at 3, but we would kind of go 4 or 5. Maybe just as I welcome you here to the boys show, Jeremy, just your thoughts on that list of names in terms of some of the athletes that have jumped out at you in the last year.
Well, there's no question. I mean, fresh in my mind and, you know, reading an article about all Ohio, but, you know, the McFadden certainly come to mind. Jonathan Thomas, you know, good choice, but, you know, I guess, you know, I look at it and I just so impressed with the overall ability of a 3-sport athlete, not only to contribute, but to lead. So it's just, for me, it's great to see, you know, guys in the conversation that were legitimate 3-sport athletes in the league.
Well, no question about it. You know, Jeremy, as we said on the girls show the last time we were together, we were looking at some enrollment figures. And as the emails have started to come in on the boys' side, it's been interesting how the conversation kind of got sideways a little bit. A couple different emails jumped out at me, and as I answered back, they ended up turning into some face-to-face conversations that I've really enjoyed, and I definitely wanted to get your take. One is the open enrollment discussion. As you start to talk, say, with the boys basketball, the first one that jumps out at me was Uniota basketball. And one of the emails had mentioned, you know, the incredible talent of Swack Hammer coming from the Jackson area there. You know, Wheeler coming over from Southeastern. And there's a few others as well. But just not to pick on Uniota, just that's the particular example that was brought to my attention. Just your thought on what open enrollment has done to the overall enrollment and figures, and kind of maybe the way it's persuaded, if you will, the Side of Valley Conference.
Well, I think that's it's interesting. I mean, you know, there's always good and bad. It's very easy to point to the increase in open enrollment at Uniota in particular, and it's not just athletically, it's overall. I mean, that's why their enrollment has grown so dramatically in the last 10 or 15 years. There's been a huge increase in students going there, and, you know, that's for a lot of reasons. It's not just for sports, but there's no question that sports are going to benefit from that. Anytime you add people, you're adding opportunities, and a lot of time those opportunities are going to work out on the athletic field. So I think that's completely fair. There are certainly, on the bottom end, you have fewer opportunities for that open enrollment, especially as you get into more rural areas, you don't have quite as many options. So it's very unlikely that you're going to benefit from open enrollment. So I think that has a lot to do with the numbers in the SVC. So that's a very fair statement.
Well, it really does become such a geography lesson, if you will, in terms of just location a lot of times, as you say. You know, the second thing, Jeremy, that jumped out at me is really interesting. It's something I've dealt with as a coach, and I've seen some good examples and some examples that I'm not real thrilled about, would be the eighth grade repeat. And if you're not familiar with what the email was talking about, a real common trend, not really just here. In fact, I saw an Outside the Lines thing on ESPN just about a week ago that was a really interesting discussion. A lot of your male athletes, you don't see it on the girls' side as much, but a lot of male athletes repeating the eighth grade and maybe allowing the body a chance to just physically mature just a little bit more. And the idea is to give you a little bit more of an athletic advantage. And then if you're good enough, a lot of times it maybe at the college level helps you a little bit. I know the example they used was about an athlete that had repeated the eighth grade and some of his weights and different things. And with the way his body changed, he ended up being a late bloomer and had a big senior year and ended up playing football at Duke. Now, obviously, you're talking about a Division I athlete. You know, he was a kid that had some God-given ability. But when you looked at the chart and his weights and some of his speed times and so forth and some workouts, there was a definite change from the junior senior year. So, you know, Jeremy, just your take. I mean, we don't necessarily have to put names on it throughout the league, but I'm sure that we can all think of 5-10 examples of this over the last 6-7 years that that's been certainly interesting. Just your thought on the process of an eighth grader repeating.
Well, first of all, that, you know, it's been addressed, and I think it's kind of surprising, as odd as some of the additional rules the OHSA has put into place and the approach that they've taken, it's always surprised me that they didn't deal with that sooner, in terms of, you know, basically you know from the time you enter high school you have 4 years of eligibility, and the junior high is usually an extension of that. So that being said, you would expect that once you enter and play in seventh grade, you can play for 2 years. So you can repeat eighth grade, but you're not going to play 3 years of junior high sports, which is the case now. That's the current, you know, that's the way it's going to be from here on out. So that will change that a little bit. You know, I guess the feeling that I've always had as an educator and as a parent, I've over the years, especially when I was an elementary teacher, I would have people ask me, you know, what do you think about sending my kid to school at this age, or should I wait to send my kid to school? And I always kind of defaulted to the same thing. And it's one thing when they're 5 and 6, it's completely different when they're 15. but I always said, don't think too much about, is your kid ready to go to kindergarten right now? Are you going to be ready? Is your child going to be ready to attend college at 17?
Right.
You know, don't look at it right now. Look at it down the road and in the future. So, you know, I don't see there being a lot of benefit to graduating as a 17-year-old or a just turned 18-year-old. But that isn't something that you can address, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade. That's something that, you know, you got to think about a little sooner. And there's always exceptions. There are always reasons. But, you know, overall, you know, the middle school is no place for, you know, you to be retaining kids for the sake of athletic purposes.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you there, as you made a real interesting point, or at least interesting to me, Jeremy, because I wanted you to give you an opportunity just to put your opinion out there. But I guess the thing that jumped out at me that I was dying to get your follow-up to, do you think not being able to play at the sports that third year in junior high will keep this from happening? And two, do you think the counter move to a lot of people will be us seeing a trend more in the sixth grade level?
Yes. I do think that you'll see it go to the sixth grade, but I think that it's much more of a legitimate big picture decision in the sixth grade, because it's the difference between being an 11-year-old sixth grader and maybe being a 13-year-old sixth grader. You can see developmental differences at that time. Beyond the fifth and sixth grade, I just don't see the benefits in, you know, a kid being retained. Just very rare circumstances that probably have, you know, a lot more to do with outside external factors than anything else. So I think it's much more legitimate, and there's probably an argument to be made for fifth and sixth grader being held back. The eighth grade is really tough conversation.
Well, good stuff. Really, on the girls' show and the boys' show, outstanding feedback to the enrollment talk is really led to some great discussion. And fans, you can always send those emails to admin1@svcsportzone.com. Well, fans, stay with us. On the other side of the break, we're going to take a look at how the league has been able to react to some of the opportunities in the postseason. Well, Jeremy, just as Bruce Bump Music's talking about the weather turning hot there, July 4th weekend, on July 4th, Firecracker Open up at Crown Hill Golf Club. It's going to support the golf program, boys and girls, up at Westfall, four-person scramble, just $50, outstanding price for something this well done. It was fun to visit a little bit with my friends up there and hear that they're having great success. They're enjoying some of the best success the golf course has had since 2002. So get out, support that golf course. At the same time, you're going to get a great experience. You can find a coupon on the website there that will even get you an opportunity to pay just for three rounds and get a fourth person of your foursome on for free. So check that out, Crown Hill Golf Club. Well, Jeremy, I guess it was a wild baseball season throughout the regular season, and then the postseason was a little bit more of the same, with a little bit of everything. The same way I was talking on softball, maybe as someone that doesn't get to watch as much. I know you don't get to watch as much SVC baseball as you would like, but certainly a huge fan, and you follow it in great detail. Just your thoughts on the SVC baseball year.
Well, you know, maybe some of the same questions we discussed earlier, you know, expectations versus reality. I think everybody thought coming in that, you know, Edina and Paint Valley would be awfully good. You know, the main questions were, you know, can some of the outstanding pitchers on the other teams make things interesting with them? What kind of postseason success could the league have? And maybe what I'll throw to you first of all is, you know, kind of the same thing we talked about with softball is, you know, overall league wise, you know, do you call it a down year? Do you call it a disappointing postseason?
You know, I don't know that I would call it a disappointing postseason. I think if you were to go through each team, there would be some programs that mm-hmm. might say that they're disappointed. But if you're asking me as a league in whole, I would say that would be completely unfair. I think it was an extremely successful year in terms of what the league had to offer top to bottom, and I think that showed up in the postseason in terms of when you look at what a Westfall was able to do, you know, going through a bracket of Portsmouth West and then Valley. It shows you the caliber of the league. You know, Westfall was a 4-10 baseball team in the league. And as I tried to mention all year long on how they had played a lot of close games and how they were really capable, I think that shows up in the postseason when you see what they're able to do. As Zane Trace at 5-9, able to win the sectional and move on. Southeastern 7 7-7 in the league, and then they're two outs from a district championship and can't get off the field. So just a lot of things, and obviously the Paint Valley run, you know, we're really proud of. I know it's a disappointing inning for Adina, but again, I think we found out that had as much to do with the potential of Southeastern than it did with Adina doing something wrong.
And that was also something we talked about leading in, that it was just, you know, Southeastern kind of got a crappy draw, maybe a little unfair draw, but what it turned out to be was really maybe unfair to Adina and to the conference in general, because I think maybe the biggest similarity is people have certain expectations after an Adina baseball and a Westfall softball, you know, kind of dominate the league, that they're going to be the last man standing, if you will, in the postseason. So, you know, sometimes I think maybe some of the negativity or the disappointment talk comes from, you know, maybe that top team when they don't go as far as you think, and then it has a trickle down effect. You say that's
You know, Jeremy, that's an interesting point. You remember us talking when Paint Valley's volleyball team a couple years ago being in Division Four, and how they ended up, because of their, you know, tough regular season schedule with the SVC, they ended up getting stuck in a bracket where they played a North Adams team. And I was making the point there that a lot of times what happens is when teams are unfairly seeded, you might think that, man, that's unfair for Southeastern to play Adina. Well, in a lot of ways, it's unfair for Adina to play Southeastern as well. It works both ways. So I think you make a great point there, because, you know, Southeastern's an awfully capable baseball team with two great arms. And, you know, Adina obviously played a good baseball game, and Southeastern was able to execute them there and find a way out to the district. So, yeah, to say when you consider half of your league wins a sectional champion and one of them's not your gold ball winner, and then a team is district runner up to a team that lost 5-3 in the regional championship, and then a Paint Valley team goes back to the regional for the second straight year, to call that a down year, if that's not meeting expectations, then I would say that expectations are really high.
Yeah, so it probably says more about, you know, everybody's perception of the league than it does the actual performance, because when you're setting the bar that high, I think that's probably the fairest assessment. Is, you know, it's a testament to the overall strength and the, you know, long term success of the league that, you know, you think everybody should be good, and everybody.
And Uniota was just as dangerous in Division II with all the parity there. They just happened to really get a tough draw with the Memphis bracket.
Right. That's fair as well.
Well, I tell you, if I were to wrap up, the run for Paint Valley too there, obviously that's something that, you know, I'm proud of. But I think going back to some of those names you mentioned earlier with Anthony and Tegan being all Ohio, proud of them. But I also want to say real quick, while I have an opportunity, that the incredible run that Mason McCloy had in his career, what he's done on the mound in the last two postseasons is just been off the chart. He's been incredible for our program. And, you know, individually, because of the incredible talent of an Anthony and Tegan, that maybe, you know, Mason being first team all league, first team all district, he comes up short in the all Ohio vote, but, make no mistake about it. You know, Newark Catholic's going to play for a state championship on Saturday, as we're taping this on Thursday night, as they won 4-0 today in the state semifinal. And, you know, Mason McCloy went 9 innings against that lineup and was every bit equal to the task of the Morris kid on the other side. So just an incredible run. And I just wanted to kind of give Mason his moment there as well as a senior in terms of what he's done for the program. So I, you know, real quick before we move off, Jeremy, I guess I'll come back to you and just, you had touched on it there in the beginning, and I wanted you to touch on a little bit more, the special, the special run of three sport athletes in terms of what it's done for the Paint Valley athletic program, but really programs around the SVC, just on the boys' side, some of our multi-sport athletes.
Well, I tell you what, I think you could tie this directly into enrollment, and anybody that really understands the ins and the outs and the small school versus a big school understands is that the only way that smaller schools can be competitive and in all three seasons is if they have their best athletes playing. You know, you just cannot afford to have kids specializing in those smaller schools. And I think maybe the biggest testament when you look at, you know, the McFadden's and Mason, as you're talking about, and, you know, no, they're not the only ones, but they're the easiest ones to point out in this, because
Jonathan Thomas would be another one. Sure.
Right. But you're talking about how many district level games those kids have been a part of, or, you know, qualified for in terms of Tegan and wrestling. You know, those kids have almost had at least an extra season in the postseason. And how special is that? And I just hate to see kids miss out on that. So if nothing else comes of it, it has to inspire you to go ahead and, hey, you know what? I want to be this guy's teammate all year long. I don't care what sport it is. I want to be involved, because, you know, this is what it's all about. And when kids do that and make a commitment to each other, you know, their individual talents grow, but the success of programs and the pride that the school and the community takes in it, you know, that it has an exponential factor. So, you know, I think that's the testament to the small school. And when we get caught up in all the enrollment and, you know, the conference expansion and this and that, but, you know, what it comes down to is when you play school sports, it's for your school, for your community. And you know, your individual talents, they can be developed in the team setting, and there's no question about that, and those guys have proven that.
Well, very well said. And, you know, Jeremy, that kind of puts a cap on baseball. So now let's take a quick break, and on the other side, let's look at some track postseason.
To try and earn a dollar. Every time I call my baby to try to get a date, my boss says, no dice, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Well, nice final selection there for Bruce on the bump. Makes me want to sing along with a little Alan Jackson there. But instead, we'll talk a little SVC track, Jeremy. The obviously, when we talk boys track, where we look at some incredible accomplishments. We've talked about the throwing of a Dottillion, a Petzl. You see some of the great athletes from Southeastern, the Dunn kid. You know, the list is long. But I guess more in general, I'll just kind of ask you to look at it as a whole. You know, we talked on the girls' side about how a lot of times with Bomb's page, we'll get accused as media members of maybe being a little lazy in how we report this. You were making a great point on the girls' show that I wanted you to kind of follow up on, just in case we do have some listeners maybe not getting a chance to listen to both. Just kind of share how valuable you think as just a sports fan in general the Bombs page is, and how maybe it's probably not as a lazy a method as maybe people make it out to be.
No, I'm not sure that there's, you know, that there's a more accurate, more detailed representation of high school level athletes than what Bombs page gives to track and field athletes. I mean, you could say the same thing about cross country and, you know, even wrestling is they cover those sports as well. And a lot of that has to do with just the fact that it is a little more black and white. You know, it's strictly numbers, it's times and heights and distances and so on and so forth. But I mean, you can pretty much find out all the details that you could possibly want, on Bomb's page about any high school event, track and field of note. I mean, it's pretty much going to be on there. So, you may not get as many stories, and, you know, I think our local media does a nice job covering the track as well as baseball and softball in the spring compared to a lot of areas. But, I mean, man, we don't get anywhere near the detail of baseball and softball statistics as the information we get with track.
That's well said. I think it's more of a credit to Bombs page than it is. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of times that's kind of where the track officials, the coaches, a lot of the athletes have just kind of utilized that as their source. You know, I think sometimes the coaches maybe get criticized for not promoting or being an ambassador more, but I think their response to that is, well, we always make sure that as a group we support Bombs Page. So it kind of comes full circle in terms of what needs to be. You know, the other thing too with track, a lot of times you start to associate different things. Like I was making the comment to Coach Burke out of Paint Valley that, man, it seems like some of those middle distance Piketon kids have been in school for like 10 years. You know, the Hatfield kid at Paint Valley is tremendous. We mentioned the throwers there. We obviously the distance runners at Unio. You know, a lot of those we talked on the girls show about how, you know, there's team success, but then there is the value of the special individuals that make the state level appearances and some even get to the podium at that level, and the value of how that kind of keeps a program on a map. It really, track is one of those unique things where, you know, baseball you either get beat in the sectional or the district or the region, whatever it is, but in baseball it's a team all or nothing type of thing, where in track there is something, isn't there, Jeremy, to that individual that kind of keeps your program relevant as the calendar turns June.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, you know, you get somebody that's dominant in a couple events, and all of a sudden there's your school's name and there's your team being representative at the regional level, maybe even the state level, and you know, the kind of impact that, you know, you just don't have in other individual sports. So I think that's fair, especially when you're talking about sustainability. You know, you lose a class of strong athletes, and, you know, your team can still have some success with just one or two that are dominant in their events.
No question. And I guess as we get into the three up, three down, we've always made it more of a baseball, softball type thing. With this being the boys show, there will be a lot of baseball mentioned. But if you see anything that would apply to the track, feel free to throw that in here. So what we'll do, Jeremy's in our three up, three down, as we always do. We'll have you go first. I'll follow up. So, Bruce, go ahead. Let's see what you have for us.
What about the postseason would most people consider a surprise that you saw coming?
Well, I think we talked a great deal about Southeastern baseball and how dangerous that was. And, you know, they made the list. And, you know, we knew that if Dye pitched well, that they pretty much have a chance to beat anybody. And that held true. You know, they of course, also, you know, almost lost to anybody as a Cinderella River Valley team, you know, all but had them beat. And just a dramatic run, you know, where you kind of saw all facets of it. But at the end of the day, just a really nice run by Southeastern.
Well, Jeremy, I was definitely at the top of my list. Just made me sick to my stomach watching those Southeastern kids. I was at that game. They're two outs away from a district championship, and it just kind of started to one batter at a time kind of get away. And but since you went with that one, I would throw in the Westfall Mustangs on that same type of thought. This is a team that, you know, I had mentioned throughout the year that I know Adine and Paint Valley and Uniota was getting a lot of the pub throughout the league, but the Southeastern team, the Zane Trace team, the Westfall, these are dangerous teams. Even Huntington was dangerous, and they had to play an SVC team. Piketon went, what was that game, 8, 9, 10 innings? It seemed like, I don't have in front of me, the Portsmouth game to get to Zane Trace. So, you know, the Westfall team was one that just that I could kind of see coming when that bracket came out. I thought, man, if your Valley is a two seed, there could be a lot of places you'd rather be than having that Westfall team come to you.
What about the postseason has been the biggest shock to this point?
Well, I think all the Uniota male athletes advancing to that wouldn't be it. I would say that, you know, the biggest shock of the postseason probably goes to, you know, the Adina. I think after the Warriors dominated the league and with the depth of their pitching, you know, everybody was just kind of circling Adina and Wheelersburg. And, man, is that a game that get, you know, you talk about all the games that went 9-10 innings. You certainly could expect that would be one that could go there going 2-3 pitchers deep and still having quality arms on the mound. So I definitely point to that being the biggest shot.
Well, I think it has to be. As much as I'd love to bring another one, I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. And on the one hand, you could really see the Southeastern thing coming, but that doesn't mean you had predicted that way. Right. Anytime a team goes 14-0, but I think it speaks to the nature of baseball. Is the one point I would make here of, it's not the same as a football or a basketball team that might just be bigger, faster, stronger. Baseball's still a game of pitching. It's still a game of a little bit more skill, where it's not me being bigger, faster, stronger than you all the time in terms of, the way execution and so forth comes into play. And it's a situation of, I know Southeastern might show 7-7 in the league, but they're not a 7-7 baseball team when those two guys are on the mound. That has a lot to do with what the schedule does to you in terms of pitching throughout the year.
What headline best represents the SVC for the remainder of the postseason?
Well, I think when you look at, the number of male track athletes that advance to the state, the SVC just continues to run and run and run and run and run, and it doesn't matter if it's, in the fall with cross country or in the spring with track and field. There are so many male athletes, female too, but in the boys show here, so many male athletes throughout the league. It's not just the dominance of certain programs. I think the bar has been raised, and it's just a wealth of talent from sprint to field events to distance running, where you're seeing 6-7 conference team sending representatives to the state.
Well, I guess there's two ways I look at this. One, if I want to look at it selfishly, I think of, what might have been for the Bearcats. Obviously we're extremely grateful to be in the regional two straight years. But again, as you watch Newark Catholic, you're ready to play for a state championship, and to know that you're in a nine inning, one run game there, that kind of battle, that definitely at least is in your mind. But if I were to answer this more for the league as an ambassador of SVC baseball, I would say, what a great opportunity to springboard into the next year, because again, you had so many different teams do so many special things, and now these teams bring so many kids back. So I mean, the league's going to be as good as ever a year from now.
But Shane, I'm going to jump in real quick.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Hitting on to that point, it would have been very easy for me to jump in and talk about the Bearcats, but I think our listeners really enjoy hearing your passion and your emotion, talking about your own kids and the successes that you've had at Paint Valley, with this group of kids and with this baseball season, in particular, you wear the hats and you balance things between being, a coach and being an ambassador for the conference. But, I think everybody, probably appreciates the fact that you being a little selfish and taking a little bit of praise and recognizing your kids and taking pride in all that you've accomplished.
Well, I appreciate that. And, the reason I'd asked you what I did earlier, Jeremy, is, we talked about Mason, Tegan, and Anthony being three sport athletes, but I think what I've really found at the small school, and this is what I've tried to encourage kids. I work with some girls over at Huntington a little bit. I get an opportunity to work some different camps throughout the off season as well. I go through my entire life. It's just not those three. What I've really found in our program, Josh Kreck is a three-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. Gavin Mendenhall is a two-sport athlete. Drake Stanforth is a two-sport athlete. Caleb Johnson's a three-sport athlete. Austin Baker's a two-sport. Jonathan Henson's a two-sport. Clay Archer's a three-sport. Jay Riley's a three-sport. I'm probably missing some people, and I hate to do that. But my point is, I don't – in our top 12 on our varsity baseball team this year, we didn't have one sport athlete. Really what you want is you want kids in competition. I tell people all the time in today's crazy scheduling, when these coaches send out things, for basketball shootouts or football 7-on-7s or weightliftings or whatever, and you'll hear parents say, oh, this is crazy. This is, you can't be three places at once and all that. I think as a coach, and jump in here and tell me if I'm wrong, I think as a coach, what we're wanting is kids to compete. If you're home on your couch and your basketball coach is having open gym, then get off the couch and go to open gym. But if, you know, if you can't make a shootout because, you know, you're playing some summer baseball, or if you can't make a baseball workout because, you know, you are playing some AAU. I think it's one thing when kids are out trying to make themselves better athletes. I think the constant thing I would say is, are you sit around doing zero? Do you follow me there?
Right, right. I don't think there's any question about that. It's, you know, everybody's in a different situation, and I know there are kids where, you know, maybe their family depends on them to work a little bit, so that may keep them from an opportunity. But, you know, the question is, you know, it's that opportunity cost. What is it that you're actually giving up? You know, everybody makes sacrifices, but what is it that you're actually giving up to do three sports or not to play three sports? And I think that's a fair question to ask an high school athlete if you're a coach or if you're, you know, a teammate.
Right. There's no doubt about it. And Skylar Knisley was the one I forgot. He's also a two-sport athlete or designated hitter. But, you know, it is. And I think there's something to be said for that in terms of being a teammate, because kids know, in the really good programs start to police themselves. It kind of leads into a point I have here. And real quick before we do, I don't want to forget a second mention of the Crown Hill Golf Club. They wanted me to let people know of their junior camps that start June 9th. These are ages 6 to 12. There's also a league starting Sunday, June 21st at 5:30. These are for age divisions of 8 to 18. Again, I'll have that stuff on the website. You want to check that out, and some great things going on up there at Crown Hill Golf Club. But, you know, this kind of leads into one of the final points on the boys show I wanted to talk about. I received an email, Jeremy. It talked about elite players in the offseason, and it talked about elite players in balancing that with team success. And it was asking, when all said and done, can a player truly be considered elite if they didn't help take their program to some level of winning? And it didn't really give specific examples, but, you know, there are some definite kids that come to mind that I'm sure we'll talk about in the year to come. But just your thoughts on that, when you're talking about these kids working, because I guess my take on this is, I'm not saying they have to win SEC championships. I'm not saying they have to win sectional district championships, because, you know, maybe they just don't have enough around them. But when it says a certain level of winning, to me, if you're at any SEC school and you're coming up through the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, if you're that good, you and your parents have such an opportunity to make people around you better, to make the program better, to be a great ambassador of the coach in the program. There's so many things you can do to generate a winning atmosphere that I do think there's some fairness to that. And I read that email. I feel really passionate about it, and I wanted to throw that to you, Jeremy, here in our final segment to just kind of get your feel on that.
Well, I do think that that's fair. And I think, you know, when you look big picture, you know, what probably has the greatest impact on your life as an individual and your successes, it will never truly be, you know, the sum of what you are. It's going to be what you create and the residual effect that you have. You know, the benefit of team sports is just that, the benefit of being a teammate. And at the end of the day, you know, when you look back to your high school career, if all you have to talk about is all the records you set individually, all the strikeouts that you had or all the points that you scored, you know, that's going to be a lonely conversation. Most people, when they look back, whether it's, you know, to high school, college, or even back to Little League, you know, they're going to remember the people that they were there with them. They're going to remember the teammates and, you know, the goofy things that happened. And those are the things that define you and ultimately, you know, point to the types of successes you're going to have in your life as a professional, as a family person, you know, as a human being. So I think cheating yourself out of an opportunity, I think that was a great point, because I think sometimes, you know, you miss the forest for the trees, so to speak. And you know, your individual successes not only you know, rely on others around you. But the ultimate successes for a school, for a program, you know, can be enhanced so much by, you know, putting as many good people in it as possible.
Well, there's no question. And, you know, as we come to the end of season four here, Jeremy, I mean, you know, obviously we could talk about, you know, next year with football. You know, the Paint Valley Uniota matchup's intriguing. Basketball, Uniota's going to be awfully tough to run down. Baseball, I, you know, even though each school might graduate a key piece, boy, is a big piece of the nucleus coming back just about everywhere. But more importantly, as we come to the end of this season, Jeremy, just in case we did not have listeners listen to both, I would be absolutely cheating the Cider Valley Conference and its fans if I did not thank you for all of your time. I know with a lot of the avenues you've gone to professionally and so forth, you just have so much on your plate. You'll occasionally stop in and see us, I'm sure, here at SVC Sports Talk, but you're not going to be able to do this as full time. And I know when I look back at the history of this four years, there's no way our softball coverage would be what it is, as well as just the overall, you know, friendship that we have. As I said on the other show, you and I do this all the time. You know, who'd have thought that we'd be able to make a show out of it and get people to care a little bit. So just as we wrap up, I wanted to give you kind of the floor here just to kind of give a final thought on SVC Sports Talk and just your place here in the Cider Valley Conference.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed, you know, learning and talking about all the athletes, about the programs. I made tons and tons of friends that I'm sure I will have for years to come. It's just been an absolute blast. And, you know, whether we're on the golf course, whether we're, you know, just on the phone or out to dinner, you know, these are conversations that we have, you know, every time that we get together.
Absolutely.
It's so cool to be able to do it in a broadcast. And, you know, I'm very, very proud to be part of, you know, the growth of SVC Sports Zone. And, you know, I just all the other conversations that come out of it, because somebody says, hey, you know, I was listening to the show and blah, blah, blah. What do you think about this? And, you know, it just gives me more people to talk to, I guess, or more people to listen, thinking that my opinion matters. But, you know, that being said, it's been a whole lot of fun. You know, I hope to continue to have some part and, you know, maybe pop in on a show or two, but it's going to be very difficult for me to have a consistent role moving forward.
Well, absolutely. And I know the future of SVC Sports Talk is going to be alive and well. We're just not sure exactly the direction of the show just yet. Talking to some sponsors, you know, Bruce and I will get an opportunity to talk about it a little bit. But I tell you, I also want to thank Bruce Knox. I know we'll get a word out of him every now and then here on the air. But Bruce, I tell you, you make this thing go. You know, Jeremy and I can sit around and talk about this, like he said, on the golf course, on the phone or wherever. But your ability to do all the dirty work or all the technology work there that makes the show go each week, and we certainly appreciate that. So I'll tell you what, for the final time here in 2015, I say for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other great sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and the fine people at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.